system is crumbling. The bankers are panicking. The lira is melting away like a frosted ice cube in the fires of hyperinflation. But amidst the chaos, the digital renegade, the true cypherpunk warrior, the Monero messiah of Lebanon, Tony, aka Car Battery LB, is out there fighting in the streets, one transaction at a time, with nothing but Monero and his unyielding resolve to save his people from the fiat death spiral that has engulfed the nation. While the Lebanese lira crumbles into dust, while the banks burn in their own corruption, Tony has single-handedly transformed into a financial insurgent, working tirelessly to onboard merchants, to teach the masses how to escape the prison of their hyperinflated currency, to make Monero the beacon of hope in a country where the central bank's printed promises are worth less than the paper they're printed on. Car Battery LB isn't just promoting Monero like some casual cryptocurrency enthusiast. No! He is a one-man wrecking crew, fighting tooth and nail against the debilitating grip of Lebanon's crumbling fiat infrastructure. In a land where inflation eats away at purchasing power faster than a vulture devours a carcass, Monero becomes the only lifeline, the only escape, the only currency that isn't dying in the hands of the corrupt elite. This isn't just about adoption. No, it's about survival. Tony's not here to sell you the dream of a shiny new token. He's here to offer a tool of liberation, a tool for personal freedom, a currency that doesn't depend on the whims of central banks, a currency that doesn't inflate, doesn't debase, doesn't betray you. While the lira tumbles, while the central banks conspire to drain the last ounce of purchasing power from the people, Tony is out there, getting merchants onboarded to accept Monero, educating the masses, busting through the chains of financial enslavement that have held his people in an iron grip for years. Monero is the savior, and Tony is the prophet, bringing private, secure, peer-to-peer transactions to a country that's been abandoned by the very institutions that should have protected its people. Tony isn't just pushing a currency, he's reclaiming sovereignty. He's decentralizing the financial system in a nation torn apart by corruption, inflation, and the collapsing false promises of fiat. This episode is a call to arms, a rallying cry to all those who seek freedom from the tyranny of inflation, freedom from the surveillance economy, freedom from the fraud of central banking. Tony's battle isn't just against a currency, it's against an entire system that exists to steal from the people, to keep them enslaved to a debt-ridden, trackable, and confiscatable existence. Monero is the tool, and Tony is the man, taking back the power one wallet at a time. So listen closely. Episode 3 of Season 3 of the Outlaw Crypto Podcast is not just another episode. It is the resistance. It is Tony, Car Battery LB, the man leading the charge in Lebanon, bringing Monero to the masses and fighting for freedom in the face of an all-consuming financial apocalypse.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Outlaw Crypto Podcast. I'm your host, Paranoia Machinery, and this is a podcasting 2.0 podcast, which means you can donate Bitcoin via streaming sats and boosting sats on the Fountain app or any podcasting 2.0 app. And you can also support the show through XMR chat or make a direct donation through one of the many privacy coins we accept if you'd like to support. I'm very, very happy to have a very special guest today, Tony, also known as Car Battery LB, who's a Monero community member based in Lebanon. Tony, how are you? Thank you for coming on the show.
I am very good, and thank you for hosting me today. It's an honor to host me. Well, let me introduce myself in a few minutes. So okay. Everyone knows how I started. So I finished education, my college degree. Then I was hoping to start my career. Then things started to go wrong and bad, extremely bad, back in 2019, when my country currency, the national currency, started the inflation against the dollar, and it's there all the problems started happening. We lost almost $220,000 in the banks because of this, and our condition, man. Yeah, it became extremely bad. Thanks God that we own our own house and we have our own shop. Otherwise, it was a very bad scenario case we will be going on today. So in 2021, when we tried to contact the bank to get our money, they refused to give it to us, with thousands of other families or people or depositors, let's say, in the banks all over Lebanon. So the banks, they used to blame the central bank. The central bank used to blame the government. And, you know, it's like a non-ending loop and you cannot do anything. So it's there when I decided to give a hand to my father at the shop, since my father is an old and he's not aware about the tech, he don't know about it. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to help him and introduce the digital payments. Honestly, till then, 6 months before this, I wasn't aware about the Monero. So I mostly used to do USDT because that's what it's famous in here till today. And I knew little about Bitcoin. But one day, what happened, my Binance account, I forgot the password, and I was in need to remove my funds from the account. And since I don't have the password, so when I request for a password, it was either 28 or 48 hours, I wasn't able to withdraw. So I knew that this was a shit condition and this must not happen again. And it's my money. I must take it whenever I need. Otherwise, why am I keeping my money there? So it reminds me with the same scenario that I went through, or my parents went through with the bank. So mm-hmm. Our money was there and the Binance did the same. So I kept searching until I find Monero. Finding Monero, it was through a friend. He used to do Monero things, and he recommended me to do this. So I did few transactions, and I was happy with the results, extremely happy. And it was actually so satisfying that I introduced it at my father's place together with the USDT, because I can't start telling the people to buy Monero to do the business with us, because mostly it's known here that people, they have USDT. So when I added the USDT and the Monero, I started telling my friends, my circle of referrals, and few people jumped in, and I did pretty well. Until now, I'm doing extremely well comparing to others. I'm doing extremely well with the Monero payments. I'm so happy with it.
How many people use Monero at your shop? Like, do you get quite a few people paying with Monero?
I wish I bring all the receipts, but I think there are more than 25 till now, 25 to 27.
Wow.
Within the 6-7 months. But we have to know that during the 3 months that we left to Jordan due to the war, and I know, I'm sure you know about it because you were the one who seek the help for me. So that was not counted because the business was closed. We just fled for our lives. And thanks God, that's more important from all the money in the world.
Yeah.
So now, meanwhile, before the war started, I onboarded a pizza shop. I don't know if you can remember that. There was a pizza shop. It belongs to a guy. I used to almost weekly buy pizza and some other things like chicken wings and this kind of small snacks. Mm-hmm. So one day I told him, why you don't add digital payments? So the guy was, yeah, I know, but I don't know how to do it. So instead of taking the pizza home with me, I ate it there, me and him together, and I explained for him how to do the Monero through the Cake wallet. And I even that day, I convinced him actually in one setup. And that day, I paid the pizza in the Monero for him, the bill.
Awesome.
So later, few days later, because I had the Monero brochures and the stickers, I had them printed, I delivered some for him. And until now, every 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I ask him if he needs more brochures or whatever, I'm still supplying for him. That was a successful one. I know he received some. Not sure about the number, but I know he received some payments in Monero. After that, there was also a small supermarket, which I also know the guy since long time. And I also told him about the Monero. He downloaded the Cake wallet. And I told him, if I will pay you in my groceries in Monero, will you accept? He said, yes. So since then, I'm doing the purchases from him, and I'm happy with it. Also, I don't know what is the revenue for him coming from the Monero, but I know he have already now the sticker, and he have also, I think, a tablet with installed Cake wallet address always there. I must go there and also do some video shooting. So these are the two things that they were successfully made. I also, a few people, I helped them because the remittance services in our country here, they charge you other than the transfer fees. So let's say if somebody is sending you $100 from another country, you have to pay the additional $10 or $12 for the fees. On top of that, our government charge you additional 5%. So let's say somebody sends you the $100 plus the fees, so you must receive a net total of $100. So they will deduct the $5 over that $100, and they will hand over $95. So I know a lot of people that their kids or their family members are abroad. Mm-hmm. So I told them, instead of doing the regular the Western Union services,
yeah,
tell them to buy the Monero and send it to me, and at the same moment I will be at your place, or you can come visit me, and I will give you the cash immediately instead. And I will not charge you anything other than the fees, if what, let's say, $1 or $0.50, whatever it requires. So I help a lot of people about that. And I'm sure now there are a lot of people that are already using this because of they are saving almost $15, $15 to $17 on every each $100.
Yeah, that's incredible that they charge that much. That's like 20% that they're charging in fees.
It's like 15 to 17%. So the $100, you will receive 85. So it's like they are ripping the people off. They want to be partner with your income, which is not logical actually. So now let's come back to the main two projects that I'm working on. The first thing is, you know that there are some special, let's say, there's a special party in Lebanon that they are sanctioned. And these people, they cannot bring in or out money, even if it's through exchanges. And they don't risk it. They are so careful because any wrong information and boom, it's gone. So these people are what I'm working with. They did few testing transactions. I don't know what's the amount. It's they won't tell me, but I guided them. But soon they are having, it's a food chain. It's a food chain supply. It's like a cover business to do these things. So once this is introduced in their food chain supply stores, at that time, I will be making an interview with the son of the owner, and I will take a video there. I think in the next maybe maximum a month, this will be solved. I know it's already they did the testing transactions, they did, and it was successful. I know about that. Now, for the last one, which is also a unique one, I have a friend who's his friend. He's renting a space at a public beach in Lebanon. So he will rent the he will be running the food and beverage on the beach. So I told him when we met, why don't you add a payment, let's say in digital, in Monero. So the people that they are going to the beach, they don't have to worry about their wallets with their cash inside, because a lot of theft cases happen, you know, like you leave your wallet to go swimming, you come back
and somebody has stolen it.
Yeah. So I told him, instead of all this risk, and I'm sure, you know, like mostly the teenagers go to the to these kind of places, not the elderly. So these people, he can solve all his issues while holding his own mobile. He don't need any other thing. He don't have to carry his wallet with his ID or cash and risk it for theft or loss, whatever. So the guy, he liked the idea. So in less than 3 weeks, I think the resort will open, will be opening. Not this Sunday. I think the next Sunday, after like 10 days, I will drive to his place and check what is the setup. And I'll take a footage from there, because he really liked the idea. That will be extremely helpful for the Monero community, or for the Monero in general, because a lot of people will be going there. It's not only for weekends. It will be like all week long. But of course, on Saturday and Sundays will be much more the visitors. Yeah, this one I'm working in, and I think in the next 10 days, I will be there physically. I will try to film it from there and see how the progress goes on. And meanwhile, whenever I can see any business that possibly can adopt a digital payment, of course, I cannot say this to a grocery store selling lettuce and tomato, but these kind of businesses, I think these are the ones that they can easily adopt it.
Like, how common are digital payments, like, when you're not using Monero? Like, do people... Like, do most stores have like electronic payments or no? Are you guys mostly cash?
In the capital Beirut, yeah, there is a lot of stores. They do accept digital payments.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I don't stay in the capital, but I think because the problem is I'm alone. I don't have anyone to help me, and I cannot also leave my shop and go and search, you know, like, because it will take me around one and a half hour to reach that place.
Yeah.
So if soon I can have somebody that can be instead of me at the shop, I have some few friends, I can speak to them to arrange to speak to other businesses. If they have the potential to accept and add Monero payments at their store, I can give them a visit. I can set a meeting, like one day, and I can give them different timings, and I can visit each one of them with the brochures and explaining and all these things. And I think it can be successful, but since, you know, it's a one man doing all these things, it's a little bit difficult for me, but it's not impossible.
Well, it sounds like you've done a lot already. I mean, you've already onboarded the pizza place, the grocery store. You're getting the guy at the beach to do it. You have the other group of people using it. And that's super exciting.
I'm doing. And I wish everyone do this. You know, I'm not saying everyone must do like 5, 10. No, do whatever you can. Do a one shop, do a two shop. Tell people if they are receiving money from abroad, to use this, you know, because we all know the Monero transfers, it's like, it's almost zero. It's 1-2 cents.
Yeah,
whatever
it's super
the
cheap.
Amount is, you know, like any business that's providing a service, let's say a restaurant. If you go in a restaurant to order any meal or sandwich, whatever, anything needs 15-20 minutes. If you start paying the moment you place the order, till the time your order is ready, the payment is done. So it's not we don't need, you know, time is not that so important, because anything needs 15-20 minutes. So this is more than enough till the payment, because once it appears in the first 0 out of 10, it's done. He cannot revert it.
Yeah, I would even say you could do zero conf and not even wait for the confirmation, because we don't have like the adjustable fees like they do in Bitcoin, where like you can rebroadcast a transaction with a different fee. So you can assume that a Monero payment, once it's been broadcast, is going to confirm.
Yes, mostly for me, when I receive payment, once it appears in the transaction 0 out of 10,
yeah.
I just even if he I don't have him to wait. Whatever he paid for, he can take it and leave, because it's already showing in my wallet the confirmation. Then I have just to wait a few more minutes until all the confirmations are done.
Yeah. And like Monero blocks are quick. It's like 2 minutes. So like the most you're going to wait is like 2 minutes. For a confirmation.
To be honest, it's, I don't know, for me, the last time I did, it was like a few days ago. It take maybe more than around six, seven minutes. Not sure if there was something new happened after that, and it's shorter in time. But even 5, 6 minutes, 10 minutes, I'm more than happy with that. It's not that big deal to wait.
Yeah, I agree. That's awesome that you've been able to be so successful in onboarding people to Monero. Like, is it hard to get Monero in Lebanon? Like, are there exchanges you can use? Or like, how do you guys even get Monero?
Okay. For me, sometimes I use exchanges like MEX.
Okay.
Because MEX, you don't need to do the KYC. You just, all you need is an email and a telephone number. The email and the Google Authenticator, or the 2FA. So
okay.
It's still somehow, it's not, you can consider it non-KYC, but of course they will know your IP. That's the only thing that they can know. But they will not get more information if you do it without KYC. And it worked. Some other people, I only tried one through RetroSwap. It worked also. It was fine. But some other people also buying through exchanges. And also we have P2P. Like, there are stores, physical stores. You can go there, give them cash. And, for example, you ask him for a specific coin. and he will give it to you. He will tell you this much my commission, and I will send you this amount. If you agree, he will proceed. So these options are also available in here.
Okay. And then, like, how many people are using Tether? You said that people use Tether there to kind of avoid the inflation and stuff.
It's popular here. To be honest, it's popular. I don't want to say no, but the majority of people use Tether.
Can you, like, go into a store and, like, pay with Tether? Like, are there stores that just accept it directly?
Yes, there are stores that accept Tether, yes. Because
that's crazy.
The problem is, because the problem here, the people are afraid, they are worried, because when the currency here, the national currency, started fluctuating, because back in 2019, in 2020 till 2021, imagine every minute the price is different from the next, which is different from the next minute. So if you buy $1 now at 110,000 lira, the next minute it's 115, the next minute it's 100, after 5 minutes it's 130. So not, you know, like we are talking still in $1. What if you talk, let's say, if you are selling in the national currency, a value of $1,000, and it went till you reach the exchange to make it cash, you are in loss almost $15, $20, $25.
That's
from the,
crazy.
From the real value. Yeah, it was really crazy. So maybe that was the problem. They were encouraged to go for Tether because, you know, it's stable. It's pegged to the dollar. But I didn't see, or I didn't feel that if I receive Monero payments, I'm in loss. And we know, like, since the last maybe 1-2 years, the Monero, instead of going or stable, it's keep on going up and up and up. So if you get in Monero, instead you have much more bigger chances. Whatever the amount you get paid, you are making even more profit on it.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. I remember seeing, like, a while back, like I guess when the currency crisis first started in Lebanon, that people were, like, robbing the bank to get their own money out. Like, they were having to go in there with, like, guns.
It was not robbing, but the media here, they tried to put some spices. It's like there are some families, they were in real need for their cash. Some of the families, like the ones that I saw, they have cancer patients. They need money urgent.
Yeah.
So hospitals doesn't wait. Doctors doesn't wait. They need to get. By the way, I did my father denture, and I paid the full amount in Monero. I forgot to tell that.
Oh, you paid for his dentures.
I onboarded a dentist. Yeah, I onboarded a dentist also. So if somebody, I will find the bill, because he stamped. He made the bill after I paid, and he wrote that the money was paid in Monero. I will find the bill and post it later.
That's awesome, man. Like, I think one of the most exciting things that you were telling me is this group that you're working with that really needs, like, censorship resistant payments, because they're sanctioned,
yes.
Right? Like,
yes.
if they try to make any transaction, their money
they
gets taken.
Because from what I know, it's huge. It's really huge. We are talking millions and more than millions.
Yeah, I bet. If the word gets out that they're able to successfully transact using Monero, like, I expect other groups that are also being censored financially to also adopt Monero, like, once they realize it works. Because, like, I know some of those groups have tried to use Tether in the past, and their Tether has been, like, frozen and seized and that kind of thing.
These people,
so
they used to use Bitcoin before.
Yeah,
Bitcoin,
but it's traceable.
Kind of thing. But there were a lot of accounts that they were suspended and blocked.
Yeah, I bet.
So, and I think some incidents happened to them, and they stopped using both Bitcoin and both Tether. So the thing that happened, one of these guys that who works there, I know him through a friend, and he was telling me these kind of things. And I told him, why you don't tell your boss about this kind of payment called Monero?
Yeah.
So he said, I don't know, I'm not aware. Maybe if you want, you can I can speak to him, and whenever he agrees, you can come and meet him. Then I waited almost 2 weeks to meet the guy. I went there. I stayed more than 2 hours, but of course I didn't do filming because that's not possible to post such things.
Yeah, I imagine they're pretty conscious about privacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that to me is probably one of the most important things, because like Bitcoin was designed to be like a money system that anybody could use, you know, without getting their money seized or blocked or anything like that. And because of its lack of privacy, the fact that you can see every transaction on the blockchain,
well,
it
Bitcoin
doesn't work
is not
for that.
From any other coin, honestly, like yeah. any other coin, it's maybe Bitcoin, it was something huge, maybe back 10 years ago, because that time people were not aware or less using crypto. But now you can trace any amount or any address on Bitcoin, and you can find, you can see when it was transacted, how much, and from where to who, and if it goes to an address that is KYC, then boom, khalas, done. It's over for them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's what I think too, is that it's failed that use case, whereas like Monero is kind of stepping into like those places where Bitcoin falls short, such as like dark web markets, and then now, you know, transacting
Monero,
for groups
Monero
that are like
everyone.
Being censored.
I believe Monero is for everyone. It's not, you can use Monero in for anything possible. It's not about you are hiding something, no. But hiding doesn't mean you are doing crime. Hiding your money is you protecting yourself. It seems like you are having cash, and you are just putting your cash on the balcony, and people passing by and seeing your cash. You are risking your life. If you don't have enemies, you will have enemies. Why to risk your life? Why people must know how what do you have and how much do you have? It's not something that you must share. Maybe you share a party, you went to a party, or you went to the beach, or having a nice meal. But to share, I think, what you have, let's say, money or gold, this, I think this is insane. Like, this is like same like you are telling to the thief, come rob me in the house.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's super crazy. Imagine like if your family and all these other families in Lebanon would have had their savings in Monero rather than the banks. Like,
they were all,
you guys would have avoided.
They were all in good shape now. Trust me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Like the fact that you're in your country, like the economic crisis is so severe. Like, has it gotten better yet?
Is it improving? It was manipulated. This what happened in Lebanon. A bunch of corrupted politicians, let's say 95% or 98% of them are corrupt.
Uh-huh.
So they agreed with the head of the central bank. So they make a dirty game. So how to steal the money, and no one can tell them you stole the money. So the banks here, you can deposit in both currencies. You can have a dollar account, or you can have a lira account. So mostly people, because we are in Lebanon, they get paid in whatever you do, you get paid in lira.
Yeah.
So let's say the $10, it was 15,000. So you collect and then you deposit. So this amount of money is equivalent to a certain amount of dollars. So what they did, let's say you deposit 150 million lira, which is exactly that time $100,000. So these people, they took the money, convert it to dollars, send this money to banks outside of Lebanon. And this, by the way, this didn't happen within a day or night. This takes years. But once the liquidity was finished from banks, it started showing up until the crisis happened. So they kept taking the money, And then they, before the liquidity is finished, they start manipulating the price, fake inflation. It went all the way from $1 equal to $1,500 to $1 equal 145,000. So if your bank account is 150 million, which is equivalent to $100,000, they will tell you your bank account now it's equal to $3,000. So literally they stole $97,000 from you.
Yeah, and it's insane.
And on top, you cannot get the $3,000 all. They will tell you can get monthly maximum $200 or $300.
That's so crazy. I'm surprised like you guys didn't like string the bankers up from the light poles.
Well,
like,
if this happened in any other country, let's say in the US, I'm sure the government must fail. But here, the law, the government, they are backing each other, and you cannot do anything. If you go to file a case for the bank or whatever, it's the same people who is doing the bank. He's the same, the politician. He's the same, the judge. He's the court. He's the law.
Yeah.
So it's
rigged. It's rigged against you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's rigged. It's rigged. Hopefully now with the new government, maybe some good changes happen, but I'm not expecting anytime soon. Also, don't forget that there's a lot of counterfeit bills. That's another reason for people not accepting even dollar anymore.
Yeah, they'd rather have Tether because they know it's not like a fake
because
100 or whatever. Yeah,
I don't want to say 100%, but it's 99% the same. It looks the same, same sensing of the paper. Everything is same. So if somebody is like 50 years old, how he will know if this is fake or not fake? He won't know. Until he goes to the exchange or whatever, then they tell him this is fake. So he lost the product that he sold, plus he lost the money. So that's why a lot of businesses, they are not even accepting dollars, you know, especially the $100 bill, the $50 bill. And recently there were also $20 bills. So it's not safe anymore.
Do most people like use dollars like in their day-to-day life, or are you still spending lira everywhere?
Here, everybody you can find with him in his pockets mix both dollars and lira at the same time. And some people also, you can see they have euros.
Euros too, wow.
Yeah, but that's very, very less. It's not widespread like the dollar. Dollar is like... it seems like you are living in the U.S., but you are not in the U.S.
Wow, that's so interesting.
We don't have the coins. We have only the paper bills.
Okay. And, like, is the lira still, like, inflating away? Like, are you guys still having the currency crisis,
no.
like, as
now,
we speak?
Now it's holding, I think, around 98,000. It's $1. Sorry.
Well, at least the currency is stable again. I mean, there's that.
It is stable, but it's not good because the salaries are still paid with the old pricing. Let's say somebody used to get 1.5 million, which used to be $1,000. So now he's getting $10.
Oh, man, that's horrible.
Yeah. Or $15. Yeah.
So how do people survive? Like if they work like all month and that's...
You cannot survive with one job, especially if you are working, sorry to say, but let's talk about the police, the army. These people, if they don't get, these people, they get aid in dollars, but their basic salary is in lira, which is a clown business, you know, like he's getting like $30, $40 or $50 in lira. He have a family, he have a rent. You have electricity to pay. You have food. gasoline for his car, mobile recharge. You know, if this person doesn't do 2-3 jobs, it's impossible for him to survive.
Man, it sounds like a lot of people are going through like a lot of economic hardship in Lebanon.
Yes. The sad truth is like there's a lot of young people, you know, like suddenly you hear from people, oh, he killed himself, he poisoned himself. You know, like the people, they're just, they're helpless, really.
Yeah. That's so sad, man. That like they've been financially devastated to the point of like they'd rather kill themselves than live.
Well, because, you know, imagine somebody working all his life, 40, 50 years of saving his money, and it's gone in a blink. And if you need to buy or if you need to visit a hospital without paying the advance, they will not let you in.
Yeah.
This is the situation. Well, you will tell me, yeah, there are some people they are doing extremely well. But the majority no.
Okay. And is like the war thing still happening? Like I remember a few months back, like you mentioned yourself that you closed your shop and you had to flee and all that. Were you able to like return to your home or are you still like
true. The war, it didn't stop. They reduced the areas, so they were concentrating mostly on the south of Lebanon.
Okay.
Since the agreement of ceasefire, they were attacking the south of Lebanon, and even today, earlier, they bombed a building in the middle of Beirut.
Man,
all of a sudden, you know, like they drop a tweet that this building contains some I don't know what, and we will bomb it, and you have like 30 minutes to leave. So what about these 10-12 families living there? And why the lies? Why you don't? You know, like this is like a bullshit that's going on and on and on and on. There is no end for this, you know, unless no idea what will happen. But this is like no one can take it. Believe me, like if any other country doing to them the same what they are doing here, they will not accept. But since here we are like screwed financially, economically, the army is weak, you know, like everybody is able to jump in, do whatever he want. They cannot do this with a strong army, with a country that have strong army. It's impossible for them to do it. But they are doing all kind of things. And, you know, like, it's very, very well known, like, how many summers it's passed. Every beginning of summer, they do this so that, because Lebanon mostly depends on tourism. So if these kind of things happen, the tourists will choose not to visit Lebanon. You know, because he will say, well, should I go for tourism or should I die there?
Yeah, it's too dangerous.
Yeah, so he's doing it more worse for you. You know, he's affecting your economy directly.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's crazy that you guys are having like an economic crisis, like it's in motion, it's still happening. And then you're also having like an invasion happen, like a war. It's like two like very, very horrible things that are happening at the same time.
Well, there is a lot of things that the media doesn't say about. Lebanon population is maximum 5 million Lebanese. We have almost 6 million immigrants, Syrians, who are living here. Sorry for that.
There's more Syrians than Lebanese in Lebanon?
We are like 5 million.
Yeah, and you said there's 6 million Syrians, so like...
There's 6 million, yes.
So there's more Syrians in Lebanon than Lebanese.
Yes, because the war that was going on there, they flee to Lebanon that time.
Yeah.
So no idea what's the consequences or why this happened, but all the foreign aids that was coming to them, they were encouraging them that they will get paid $25 for every kid, additional kid they have per month. So these people living in the tent, getting monthly $200-$300 basic salary, plus $25 for each kid. And then he works, he takes a job from the Lebanese for cheaper labor. You know, like, we are getting attacked from every side, every possible side.
Yeah, it sounds like it, man. Like, we have, here in Colombia, we have, like, a similar issue with, there's, like, a lot of Venezuelan people that have fled Venezuela to, like, escape the communism. And they come here, and they live here, and they do, like, work for cheaper and stuff like that. So, like...
It doesn't matter. Working for cheaper, you know, that will be happy for... That will be... it will help the you know, like, for some sort of businesses, it will help them.
Yeah.
But to become more than the locals in the country, this is too many red flags. And why? Since almost 3 months now, they have a government, they have peace, they are not, I don't know what. So even now, they refused the foreign aid, like the NGOs, saying to them, if you go back to your country, you will not get paid. If you stay in Lebanon, you will get paid. So what dirty things that they are planning to do in the future?
Yeah, it's a little strange, huh?
Yeah, because it's like 1 hour by car. You know, like, it takes me from here to Beirut, 1.5, but from here to Syria, it takes me 1 hour. It's more near.
How big of a country is Lebanon? Is it a big country or is it small? Small?
No, it's a small. It's 10,452 kilometers square.
Okay. I'm kind of ignorant, I guess, of the geography and stuff. Like, I've never been to that part of the world, so I'm not very familiar with, like...
Well, we are located on the Mediterranean. In the south, it's the occupied Palestine, where the Israeli government is.
Mm-hmm.
On the south, on the north and the east, it's Syria. And in front of us, the sea.
That's just crazy, man. I can't believe that there's more Syrians in Lebanon than Lebanese.
Yes, if you take the numbers, let's say in Turkey, like in the country of Turkey, Turkey is like maybe 100 times bigger than Lebanon, and they have like 8 million immigrants. So it's nothing for them. So the ratio is astronomically crazy. And I don't have hatred about Syrians, but they are doing all type of crimes even here. They are doing, you know, crimes. They are doing stabbing the people. Too many stories, too many daily basis stories happening. They steal cars, take it to their country. They work for someone. 2 months ago, one lady, she worked as a helper to two elderly people for 7-8 months. She's a Syrian. And then she brought her friends, 2-3 men, and they stabbed the two elderly, stole their house. Too many things happening, you know, like it's really crazy.
Yeah, it sounds like it, man. I was going to ask you if there's like conflict between like the Lebanese and the Syrians, because there's so many of them that have like recently come into the country. Yeah, it sounds like there is.
Lately. It happened lately with the new president of Syria. He is bringing in a lot of fighters from, I think they call Igors or Chechens or whatever. It's like near Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, these type of countries. So they are fighting with, but for what they are fighting, nobody knows. And they did a lot of crimes recently. I don't know if you saw it on the news and on X. You know,
yeah, I saw that they were like killing Christians and killing like
Christians. They were killing Christians. They were killing another religions called the Alawite. You know, too many things happening. So you don't know at this point if these people, they are doing it by their own or they are taking instructions from the same party who is trying to already screw up your country.
Yeah, I heard a rumor. I don't know how true it is, but I heard a rumor that the new president of Syria, like the guy with the beard, is he's like Israeli or something.
We can
Jelani. I think his name's like Jelani.
Yeah, they call him. His real name is not Jelani. It's a nickname. But too many things happening. No one knows what happened. Even the ISIS, when they appeared here like 7-8 years ago, they suddenly disappeared and they were transported by buses. So imagine somebody beheading people, they are ISIS, and then once they are surrendered, you know, they were ordered to transport these people with the buses to the airport to leave. So, you know, this is like, it's above the law, I think. There's some hidden fingers going on.
Yeah, I would say so. Like, I'm sure the US, the CIA, you know, and like the British and like Israelis, like, yeah. Sure, like all the intelligence agencies are all in the mix. Like,
Yeah. That's 100% true, because these people, they are not anymore fighting with their own people. So since they have the cash printers running 24/7, so it's much safer and easier for them to hire killers and make troubles while they are enjoying lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so easy, just pay this person maybe 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, whatever, and just go and do whatever you want, kill as much as you want. You know, like, if you get killed, we don't care. It's your life. So too many bad things happening. I hope this all stops soon, because cannot continue the situation with what's happening right now. It's really sad situation. And on X, when you go, too much fake news, too much lies. Almost 90% of the people there are liars. They try to convince you that whenever they want to attack someone, they just call him terrorist and boom, he's killed. So this is not the truth. The truth is beyond this. And some people are making money. For sure, like corrupt politicians, they are helping. They are making money out of it.
What do the Lebanese, like, corrupt politicians have to gain by helping like another country, like, destroy their own country?
Because it's like this: Lebanon is the only Christian country in the whole Arab, or let's say in the whole Arab countries, and in the Middle East region. It's the only Christian country.
Okay,
like. All of them are Muslim countries. Only Lebanon is the Christian country. And it's sad that all the Christian countries like US, Europe, all, they don't stand with Lebanon, because it's the only Christian country. Like, this is a small child compared to them.
Yeah.
So back then, the Christians, they were like 60% of the population, 60 or 65.
Okay.
Now we are almost 35, because the Christians... upon time, they fed up. They got fed up. You know, you can lose your house once, twice, thrice, four. You can lose your business. You can lose your family member. How long you can take it? People started leaving Lebanon back starting in 1970s. So the population became less. Now the Muslims, there are more, but still the government is Christian. This is the law. They must find a solution for this, because to continue like this, they are literally I don't know, with the same rhythm what's going on, I don't think it will take more than 20, 30 years, like, until there's no more Christians. Same like what happened in Iraq. In Iraq before, there is a big population of Christians. Now you can't find even one. They all left.
Man, that's horrible. That's so saddening. So, like, everyone's converting to Islam then, I guess?
No,
killed them all.
Nobody is converting to Islam. Nobody is converting. But the Christians, you know that, let me give you a better idea. The Christian people here, they don't get married unless he's financially stable. He have a business. He have at least a flat or house or whatever, even if it's rent.
Yeah.
The Muslims doesn't think the same way. He can still be living with his parents. He can get married. He can get 5-6 kids. And he's still living with his parents, it doesn't work for the Christian the same way as the Muslim do. Of course, not the Muslims. There are also Muslims that they are having the same way what the Christian thinks. But majority does this, They don't mind.
Okay.
And they are more productive. Like you can see, like when he's 18, he wants to get married. It doesn't matter if you have job, he's jobless, his salary is enough, not enough. Same goes for the Syrians. The Syrian come here alone. He met another Syrian girl, get married in the tent, boom. In 9 years, they have 12 kids. I don't know how. So, yeah, it's all for the money, They encourage them. Every month, you will get $25. Keep bringing home babies. Okay, I understand. Getting more people is good. This is something good, but not in a place where you literally, if you combine, you can get you can take over Lebanon. With the population that you have.
Yeah.
So these kids, when they grow up, it's been like going 13, 14 years. So in 5 years, these kids are 20 years old. So this can be one hell big army.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Man, like it sounds like it's so unstable, like politically unstable in Lebanon right now.
Well, it's like this. Lebanon has been going on in wars since ever. And all the wars, it doesn't mean anything to Lebanon. It's like few big countries, they have some problems between each other. They decided not to damage their own property and decided Lebanon as playground.
Okay.
I'm talking from my opinion. We all know that the main conflict here, what everyone is saying that, let's say, Hezbollah or Yemen or this or that, these are all maybe funded by Iran or let's say 100%. So your problem is, you want to stop the problem. Your problem, it's Iran. Why you are fighting and damaging Lebanon? Go fight Iran. So why you cannot fight that country, but you can fight a small country and damage it just because it's border for you and make it more helpless. This is ridiculous.
I wouldn't want to see that happen here in Colombia. Like, if our neighboring country just started trying to invade and like drop bombs in the main cities and stuff, like that's crazy.
Of course, no one accept this to happen in his own country. When you have a border with another country, at least there must be a checkpoint. But here, they get in, they get out without passing through the customs. They go through the mountain area. They just go on the mountain and go jump to the other side, and they are in Syria. Same way they come in. So this all must be checked. Must not allow. Any country when you go to work, okay, maybe you enter illegally, but for how long you can stay illegally? Maybe 1, 2, 3 months. But in the end, you must fix your status. You must have a residency or whatever, or apply for nationality. But here, no, they jump in, work, do whatever, crime, then go back from the same place they came in. It's really crazy. This must be fixed once for all.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it can't continue the way it's going. Like, do you think there's going to be, like, Like an internal crisis at some point, like where the Lebanese people are just like, enough is enough. No, like, get these guys out of here.
I think from what I see, this is all to push a peace relation with the Israelis. I think this is what all these pressures are leading to. Once the peace agreement is done, I think all the problems must stop. But I cannot also guarantee if they will stop doing these barbaric attacks and killing people for no reason, or just sticking any sort of blame or excuse just to attack. So no idea really. But and few years ago, well, there is one more point. Just now I remembered. Well, the problem Lebanon is going on all this because the shoreline in Lebanon, it consists of blocks of gas, natural gas resource, which were discovered recently. And recently, I mean, like maybe 15 to 20 years. So okay. all the eyes are on the natural resource, because when they did estimate how much it could be worth, some said billions, some said trillions, no idea for the exact number, but I know the number is huge. So I think the main problem that Lebanon is going through all this is because of the gas, the natural gas that is laying down there and not extracted. So I think this, the finding of the natural gas, it was good and bad at the same time for Lebanon.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. Like with Iraq, for instance, like the U.S. invaded it to get the oil, right?
Yeah, and this could be the same scenario until they buy everyone. And you are a worker for them, and they will give you the commission. So instead of you paying them the commission or to the extractor company, they will pay you the commission. So possible. I hope I'm wrong. What we need actually, we need peace. We need peace in the region. It's more than enough what have happened. How many people died, families apart from each other, people lost their businesses, you know, like properties. Imagine somebody lost from the financial banking system, the bankruptcy, lost his money, then he have a house, that house got bombed. So he's like a homeless person now on the streets.
Yeah, that's terrible, man. Like, I'm in my 40s, right? And I can't recall a single point in time in my whole life that there hasn't been a conflict like in that region.
Well, I wish and I hope you will never experience it. You know, yeah. It's a bad thing, you know, like even whatever the reason, whatever, maybe you have problems with your neighbor, with your relative, or, you know, like you will feel really sad seeing people of your own country, you know, like they are dying, same like as, you know, sorry for the word, but same like cockroaches, same like when you get your slippers and punch on group of ants, you know, helpless small ants. This is the same what's happening.
Yeah, no, that's terrible, man. Are you still being affected by it? Like, were you able to go back to your house? Or said you moved to the north for a while.
We are back. We are back at the house. We are back at our home. That's the only good thing, you know, like we own the house. It's not like a rented house.
Yeah.
Because if it was rented, we will be in trouble. Because since the war started, you know, like, the southern part of Lebanon, you can say it's all carpet bombed. there's no more houses left there. There's no more buildings. So this, the survivors who left from there, they had to rent in places they consider it as safe zones. So some of the rents, imagine during that time when the war was happening a few months ago, some of the small apartments, they went up all the way from $200-$300 all the way to $5,000. Yeah. So the people, I think also not only the government is bad, but majority of the people is also bad, because they are just taking advantage of the situation. You know, like, why you need to lift the price? You know, this person already lost his house, he lost his family members, he lost. So why you are trying to rip him off? You know.
Yeah.
After I came, like after we came back from Jordan with my parents, I hosted two families, because below my house there's a space. It's not prepared to be used for people to live. It doesn't have tiles. It doesn't have paint on the walls. Uh-huh. But I saw a family, a Lebanese, two families. They were having small kids, and they were Muslims. So these people, they were literally living on the road under the tree. They have a small some blankets and making it seem like tent. So after I spoke to my parents, I told these people to come and stay till they can find another solution. So they stayed 1.5 months and they left. So imagine in this cold weather that it went through, it was snowy, it was rain, thunderstorm, whatever. These people are on the road.
Yeah, no, that's horrible, man. Like, I remember you showing like pictures of the snow. It looked like it was super cold there.
Yes, in winter, this winter wasn't that bad. The last year winter was strong, but it went minus. I think this year the most went -8 or -9 in my place.
Yeah, that's cold. That's super cold. I was actually surprised that you guys get weather that cold there. I thought for whatever reason, like, I just assumed that it was like hot and like not cold.
No, no. This is like what everyone usually think about the Middle East. They think the Middle East it's a one big desert. No, Lebanon is not desert. We don't have desert. It's the only country that we don't have desert. It's similar to any country in the world. And the amazing part, the distance from the skiing arena to the beach is only 25 minutes by driving.
So you could be in the mountains in the snow and then be down at the beach like within a half hour. That's crazy.
Less than half an hour it takes you to be from the beach to the skiing arena. Imagine. And there are certain months, like last month, like January, February, usually some days are hot. So the same day, the people can be on the arena doing skiing, and in the afternoon in the beach. It's really like same like a magical feeling.
Yeah, that's pretty. I can't think of any other place that's like that, off the top of my head.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
It's a nice place. We have too many historical places, like goes all the way. Like 1,800 years old, 2,000 years old. So it's not one, two places. It's really like too many good things, you know. Hopefully things when get better in the future, you'll be my guest here. You know, you will really love it.
I would love to go to Lebanon, man. That would be super cool. I've never been to that part of the world, like, ever, so that would be amazing.
Yeah, it's hopefully, you know, like, soon, I don't know when, but if ever all the problems got solved and no more any issues, it's a good place to visit.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to go check out the beaches and, you know, have you shown me around?
Yeah. Too many things. Literally, there are some places if you don't tell that this is Lebanon, you will think it's a European country, or let's say in Greece, or the same atmosphere. There's no difference. The people having wrong or misinformation, let's say, they think all Arab countries is similar to Lebanon. No, in Lebanon, you will see beaches, the ladies with bikinis, but on the other side, you will see ladies full covered. So it's a diversity. You can find this, you can find that. Everything is available.
Yeah, I would love to check it out. Like I said, man, as soon as the war stops, man, I might consider it.
Definitely. Consider yourself my guest, and I'll be your tour guide.
Back to the Monero thing. You said you've gotten over 20 people to pay with Monero, and then you've onboarded the pizza guy. There's people paying with Monero at the pizza place. Is it hard to convince people to use Monero there? Or do they understand why it's important? Because I know crypto is weird for people that aren't technical.
It is difficult if you are trying to convince someone that who doesn't know anything about crypto, or he never did. He only hear usually it's like this. When you tell him crypto, the first thing he will tell you Bitcoin, but he don't know what is it. He just hear from maybe others, but it's getting changed. The young generation, they are aware about the crypto and they know. So my target is the young generation. The old ones, it's a little bit tricky to convince them, because even if you convince them, maybe he will find it difficult to use or to do it, because you cannot change the mentality for someone who's been 50, 60 years of his life paying in cash and receiving in cash, and suddenly tell him about digital payments. The lucky ones know how to use an ATM when it was still working. The banks, we don't have banks now for the last 3 years. All the banks are closed because
function then? Is everything just in cash or how do people receive payments and stuff if they don't have
there
banks?
There
or the banks aren't trustworthy?
People already lost their trust in the banks, but of course, somebody importing goods from another country, he still needs to deal with banks. And there are a few banks that they accept only in case if you open a new account. It's called a fresh dollar account. So I don't know, it's a funny name because the dollar is dollar. There's no dollar and fresh dollar, but it's a way to trick the people, they tell you if you open a new fresh dollar account, we can do the payments for you abroad. So these people, some of them, they do use these services because they don't know, or they're not aware, or still they don't feel that in crypto. But some others, I think, they already doing it with crypto. So it's a long journey to keep doing it. And as I told you, I'm alone. I'm not like four or five helpers with me. It's one person. I have to run my shop. I have to take care of my parents, the house. I have a brother. Do all these things. It requires a lot of time. So I think later, if I can find somebody to help me or ask people to find, then I can set a time or day where I can just visit them and explain for them about the Monero payments and how to how to use it and how easy it is. So then, of course, these people, they will tell their referrals and it will expand. So in the end, it's a word of mouth. I will tell to someone, and this someone will tell to other, and then you will see like 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, and it will go. So at the moment, the progress is fine, but I can say it's a little bit slow. If I had more people with me and capabilities, I could have done much more better. And also because the place where I stay, it's not the capital. If it was the capital, there's much more businesses that they can use digital payments. Here it's still a little bit, it's a mix of city life and the village life.
I'm sure like these companies or like these businesses that are already accepting like credit cards or you know traditional digital payments would love Monero because it's so much cheaper. Like I know like here, for example, in Colombia, like if you're a merchant and you have like a little payment machine to accept credit cards, like they take like a pretty hefty fee. Like most businesses don't have those because they're so expensive.
Yes, credit cards are expensive because a few years ago, before all these problems happened, I was thinking to add a credit card and I saw the requirements is it's not good to have it as a service for your business. So I just ignored it. Crypto payment, if you know what you are doing and you are aware, it's much more easier, extremely easy to accept or do payments in crypto. Of course, as I said, if you don't want to risk yourself, if you don't want to be charged, like Bitcoin, like in my opinion, it's not for daily life. With the system it's going, I think Bitcoin, if you are trying to send, I don't know, from country to country, but still, you know, there's no use for it if you are being seen, and then everything is clear. So
yeah,
it's not, I'm not talking about you are doing something illegal, no. But if you are linked to an account, to a KYC account, so these people, they can know who you are. So they can easily send some people, you know, like if they won't kill you, they will just steal your wallet or whatever, they beat you, you know. But
yeah,
when it's anonymous, no one knows who you are. There's no tracing. So, and this is what I like about Monero.
Yeah, me too.
No one must know what you have. What you have is for you. It's not for the public. I don't need to tell anybody or to let anyone know what I own and what I have.
Yeah, I agree completely. Is it easy to change Monero to Lira or like change Lira into Monero?
Yes, it's easy. It's easy because, as I told you earlier, there are these P2P shops. They do take from you and they charge you 1%. So if you give them, let's say, $100 worth of Monero, they will give you $99 in cash.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I wish we had that here, man.
Yeah. So that's easy. That's easy. And plus, you don't have to worry about anything else. You just give him cash and he will do the rest. He will give it to you or he will give you Monero, like vice versa.
That's super cool. So with these people using Tether and like the situation with the banks being like thieves themselves, are people using Tether to like buy stuff from like China or like other countries to import into Lebanon?
Yes, some of them. Yes, some of them, they are doing it. Why? Because, as you know, the Tether is pegged to dollar. So if he need to do a payment of, let's say, $10,000, $20,000, so he knows that the 20,000 USDT today or tomorrow or after tomorrow, either it will be $1-$2 more or few dollars less. So this is the situation. But Monero has proven since almost 2 years that it's keep on going upward and upward and upward. So from what I saw and I observe, Monero is no different than using a stablecoin. And on top of that, you will make gains. You will make money.
Yeah, it goes up in value.
Get paid, the value is increasing. Keep on increasing. From 2 years to now, keep on increasing. So if you get paid and you are not in urgent to cash out or something, you will see after 10 days, if you have one Monero, you will see you make $10-$15 on top.
Yeah, especially lately, it's been pumping.
Yes,
the last couple of days.
Yeah, so literally, you are getting something that's the value is increasing, keep on increasing. I do understand sometimes it drops little bit, few dollars, but within 24 hours, it's back to normal and even more. And I keep watching it, you know, like since 2 years, this is the time that I'm into the Monero, this has been going. So it's fully satisfactory, you know, like a guaranteed one. I can say this to the Bitcoin, because imagine you are getting paid for something in $10,000. It gave you the Bitcoin. The Bitcoin dropped 10,000-12,000. Your 10,000 became 8,000.
Yeah.
So you are in loss 2,000.
Yeah, I think that's been one of the biggest things holding Bitcoin back as money. Aside from the fees being really, really expensive, the volatility has made it hard to use as money, because a lot of people don't want that to happen, which you just described, where they accept a payment, they give up the merchandise, and then Bitcoin drops in value, and now they have way less money than they're supposed to have.
Yeah, the reason, what I saw, 99% of the Bitcoin users, they are in to make money. So if he gets Bitcoin from whatever source, if he's working for it or whatever, he doesn't hold Bitcoin. He immediately convert the Bitcoin to USDT or to cash or whatever, you know, but he doesn't keep it in Bitcoin. The only 1% that do this are the one making maybe the leverage or you know, this kind of thing,
the traders. Yeah,
but yeah, the 99%, the 99 immediately take it and sell it. He doesn't own it. He doesn't keep in his wallet for more than maybe a few days, because once the price goes little up, he sell. He keep it in other coin or he keep it cash. Then he jump in when it's low. So for me, these people are gambling. You know, there's no difference between these people seeing the Bitcoin other than a casino. So when you go to the casino and you win, you just cash out. And you say, okay, it's enough for today. Then you try your luck after some time. But to use it for daily life, no, they are not doing it. I'm sure no one does it. You know, like imagine you are buying a Pepsi can. The Pepsi can, let's say it's $1. So imagine you are paying $1 for the Pepsi can and $3, $4 or $5 for the fees.
Yeah, that's like what sabotaged Bitcoin as money, like in 2017. Like the fees started becoming really, really expensive. And then a bunch of companies that were accepting Bitcoin just stopped because it didn't make sense anymore.
Well, see, I'm honestly not interested in Bitcoin. Aside from all these things, once the ETF started for the Bitcoin, so the whole process for the crypto is to stay away from people who were manipulating the cash money for years.
Mm-hmm.
So why you accept if you are looking for a change, why you accept and why you are happy for the ETF. So these people, they are not your friends. They are your enemies. They just changed the face mask. A year ago, these people, or 2 years ago, they were attacking the crypto and they were attacking the Bitcoin. Suddenly, they become crypto friendly and especially Bitcoin. Why? Because they saw we can make money from this bunch of people who are doing this. We can pump it, okay, and then they will start buying, and then we will dump and take the profit and keep doing the same. So, you know, the ETFs is like a nail in the coffin. Maybe the results didn't show up yet, but it will show. Definitely it will show.
Yeah, I share that opinion with you. How did you initially find out about Monero, Tony?
I have a friend. He used to do crypto at least 3-4 years before me. So this guy, he used to mine Monero on okay. his laptop. So this is like maybe 7-8 years ago. And even he told me, try to mine Monero, but I haven't done it yet. So when I talked to him about crypto, and I want to add digital payment in the shop, he said, try Monero, because in your business, any customer that comes, whatever the job is, it won't be finished within 5-10 minutes. It will take at least 30 minutes, even a battery replacement. Mm-hmm. So within that time frame that you are doing this job, the transaction is done. And when he told me about the fees, I was really happy, because the USDT 3 years ago, we used to pay $1 fees on the USDT.
Now they're like $4.
Yeah. Recently, just now, if you do it on the BEP20 network, it's free on some exchanges, as far as I know. But if you do it on other chains, you know, they will charge you $1. So why I need to pay this $1 when I have another option, which is much more safer and more security, and no one knows what how much I have, and all these things, plus it's 1 cent, 2 cent per transaction.
Yeah. So no, your logic is flawless.
Yeah, that's what it grabbed my attention, and I tried it, and I saw yes. To be honest, when I start Monero, the transactions were a little bit late. It used to take 15, 20 minutes, sometimes 25. But recently I'm seeing it's like 6, 7, 8 minutes, not more than this.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. Like back to what you were saying with Tether, like on Tron, Tether is like $3 or $4 for the transaction fees now. Like now people are using Tether on Polygon, and like the fees are like 50 cents, but it's still significantly more expensive than Monero.
No, I think within $1 you can do it on Tether, but still you don't need to pay them $1, you know.
Yeah,
you don't need it.
You could pay a penny.
Yeah. Why I need to pay $1 when I can do it for instead of I do one transaction, I can do 200 transactions with Monero with that amount, or 50 or 100 or whatever. So why I need to pay the $1?
Is there anything else that you want to mention before we close out the interview? I've been talking to you for a long time, so I don't want to keep you all day.
No, That's fine. We were ready for this, and it was a very good talk, informative, and
I think so too.
I enjoyed every moment of it. We spoke a lot of things about Monero, about political, whatever. As of now, I don't have anything. But soon, hopefully, I will try, maybe in a month or two, I try to get into mining the Monero. Since I have almost, like, let's say, free source of electricity. So I think that will be helpful.
Yeah, You should do that. It's super easy to get started mining Monero too. Like, you just download the GUI wallet.
Well, I think if you mention in the podcast, because for sure a lot of people will listen this. So if somebody is just backing off, or because he don't know how to do it, maybe you can put the instructions. So whoever, me personally, I don't know. I'm not trying to say it. I don't know how to do it. So that will be helpful for me and others as well. Because in the end, whoever have the device and he can afford the electricity, or he have free source of electricity, why not? Instead of, you know, doing the Bitcoin mining, and you need to buy the mining rigs costing thousands of dollars, and you are not even covering the electricity bill. No, you can do the Monero and help the Monero community and the network. Plus, you can also earn. So it's a win-win case for everyone.
Yeah, I think so too. And you can, because Monero, you can mine it on like pretty much any device, like due to the fact that it's like ASIC resistant. You can even mine it on like a phone, like an old phone if you wanted to.
You mean on a mobile phone?
Yeah. Like, yeah, there's people that mine Monero on phones.
Is there any specific phone device or anyone?
Pretty much any phone. Like, the thing you need to be conscious of is that the phone needs to have enough memory to have like a pruned copy of the blockchain. So like, you need to have like 80 gigabytes on the phone.
80 gigabytes. So let's say
90, because I think like it's like 85 or something, maybe.
85. Yeah. So let's say if a mobile phone, like let's say an iPhone with an 128 GB, will do it.
Yeah, for sure.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah, you could mine on phones. You could, like, I've seen people like mine on like smart devices. Like, I don't know, like people have mined on like TVs, people have mined on like refrigerators. The guy that made Random X, he was mining on a car radio. Like, so you can pretty much mine Monero with anything.
But one question, is the mining, the results on a phone, on a mobile phone, is it the same as if you are doing it on a laptop?
No, it's better to do it on a laptop. Like a laptop processor is more powerful.
Yeah, so I think I will go for the laptop, but I have to wait maybe a month or two. There's a lot of laptop shops around here. I can find a good one, maybe a reconditioned one. Then I can start this like, okay, I will do it. I have the source, the electricity source. I'll just plug it in and keep it running day and night.
Yeah, pretty much. Like right now, while I'm talking to you, I'm mining Monero on my laptop.
That's great. That's great. Soon I will be doing the same as well.
Yeah, it's awesome. Like, It's super easy to get started. Like with the GUI wallet, the one that's on getmonero.org, like the main like flagship Monero wallet, there's a, if you install that wallet, there's like a button in the wallet that says start mining, and you just click start mining and it'll mine for you. Like, it's really not that hard. It's
so that's it. You don't need to do a special software or whatever. Just install a wallet and that's it.
Install the GUI wallet, and then you have to download the blockchain, right? So it takes like the full blockchain is like over 200 gigabytes. So depending on how fast your connection is, it takes a little while to sync. But once you have the blockchain synced, you can mine. And you don't need to keep the full blockchain. You could prune the blockchain, and then it'll be like 85 gigabytes, like I said. And then you can mine, and it takes up less on your hard drive.
You know, you are making me go now after the podcast, go to the laptop shops and have a look. that's how much I'm interested now.
Yeah, you should do it, man. It's a great way to get some free Monero, no KYC, you know, Monero that you're earning. And then you're also, like you said, supporting the network.
I will do it. This is for sure. For sure, I will do it.
Amazing, man. Well, Tony, it's been great talking to you. I've had you on here for almost 2 hours, so we'll call the interview here. But it was very, very fascinating to hear about Lebanon. Like, I really didn't know a whole lot about Lebanon, so it was very, very interesting to talk to you.
A lot of people also are not, they don't know about Lebanon. They, as I said, like, they, what's in their thoughts or what they are known, like, Lebanon is a desert or whatever. So, hope it was clear, you know, we are not against each other. We just need peace in the end. Let everybody live peacefully and happily. Enough what have happened. So hope in the coming days, weeks, there's some change, you know, because people are already tired. They are exhausted.
Yeah, I can see that, man. It sounds like people have been having a rough time for like years.
Yeah.
Long time. Yeah. Well, Tony, thanks again, man. It was a pleasure talking to you. I really like had a great time having this conversation.
Yeah, me too. It was really pleasure and very informative, and we shared good points. And hope we can do again in the future, in the near future, one more time. Hopefully, that time we have some even better news to share and some bigger achievements by that time already scored.
Yeah. I would love to have you back on. So we'll stay in touch, and we'll get you on here, I don't know, in a couple months, do a checkup.
Sure.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
You too.